identity. An orphan with a destiny he did not understand. A wise teacher who would guide him through 7 life-changing books. Books that would equip the boy to live and to rule in the kingdom he was designed for. Royal, Book 5, Twists and Turns. The royal has matured into a young man. He is now ready for the stories of his father's kingdom, stories designed to twist his mind and turn his heart. Through these profound stories, his heart will be exposed, and obedience will be required.
Why are these simple stories so important? What value do they have?
These stories will reveal the true condition of your heart and take you to deeper levels of obedience and action. Join us as Pastor Miles McPherson continues his new teaching series on how to understand God's Word through biblical genres. Be part of the kingdom journey. Come, discover who and whose you were meant to be.
That will help. How y'all doing today? How many of y'all having a bad week? Anybody having a bad week? Great. We're glad you're here. I'm having a bad week too. So let's have a good week together. Let's start another week together. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Matter of fact, let's pray. Everybody having a bad week, raise your hand. No, now there's a whole bunch of people now raising their hand. Okay, raise your hand. Raise your hand. Everybody sit around them. Just put your hands on their shoulders. Raise your hand if you're having a bad week. And if you're sitting near them, just put your hand on their shoulders, and we're going to pray for them, okay? Someone come touch my hand. Lord, we pray for all those people having a bad day. We pray you encourage them today. And we pray not only will today be good and liberating for them and hopeful for them, but that it would be the beginning of a great week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Very good. Very good. Amen. Anyway, let's see your Bibles. Say word, 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 word. Very good. Let's do that one more time. Say word. Let's see your pens. Say pens. Your lesson plan. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18. First book of the New Testament, Matthew 18. Matthew 18. I want to welcome everybody watching online or wherever you are in North County, at home somewhere. God bless you. Matthew 18, first book in the New Testament. We always need our Bible, so if you have one in your house or if you're in a hotel, look in the drawer and the Gideon's got one there for you, get it out. It'll be good for you. Matthew 18. I was having a conversation with someone recently, and they were telling me how they accepted the Lord, and I was asking them how they were doing with their walk with God. And they said, well, I'm struggling with this, struggling with that, I'm struggling with this, but God knows my heart and he'll never leave me, so I guess I'm good because I'm, you know, just making it along. I said, okay, are you pursuing God? He says, well, you know, I kind of fallen away, but I think I'll make my way back. But, you know, God is never going to leave me, right? So I shouldn't have to worry too much about it. And I said, so you think God's never going to leave you, right? And he says, well, don't you believe in eternal security? He asked me this question. Do you believe that God would never leave you? Won't you ask him to be your savior? I said, well, let me ask you a question. If a guy got married to a woman, or a woman got married, and they asked their spouse after a week, how many times can I cheat on you before you divorce me? Did that person ever get married? The answer is yes or no. Never really got married. They went through a ceremony. There are many people who pray to ask God to be their savior, but they live in a way that how far can I go before he leaves me? He'll never really leave me, so I'm good. A lot of those people never really got saved. They just prayed a prayer. And salvation is about a relationship. Everyone say relationship. As we continue the series called The Royal, say The Royal. The Royal is a story about a young boy who was being raised by an older man. You saw the video. And the older man is discipling the young boy whose parents died. And he's discipling the young boy so one day the boy can be take over and rule his father's kingdom. The young boy's father was the king. And now he's going to grow up one day to rule in his father's kingdom. And this old man is discipling this young boy in seven different books to equip him in seven different ways to run his father's kingdom. You and I are the royal. The church is the royal. The Holy Spirit's our teacher. The Bible's the book. But in the Bible, there are many different literary styles or genres, and we've been looking at different genres in the Bible and understanding how to understand the different literary styles, how to apply them to our life, and how they're uniquely written to equip us in different ways so we can rule in our Father's kingdom. So today we're going to start a little three-week mini-series on the parables in the Bible, and it's called Twists and Turns. Everyone say twists, and turns. Because the parables were stories about everyday experiences where Jesus would twist the meaning to turn our behavior. So when you ask about eternal security, I'm going to tell you the story about marriage. And then tell you a story about a guy who wants to cheat on his wife. Why? Because your relationship with God is a marriage. It's a union of two people become one. It's a commitment to one to another. And you could cheat on God, spiritual adultery, when you go trusting in other things that he's supposed to give you. And so if you say you have a relationship with God, well, you'll know you have a relationship with God by living it, okay? What we're going to look at today is a parable in the Bible. But before we get to that, I just want to read some few observations about parables just so we can know what we're talking about. Number one in your notes, parables uses everyday experiences to draw a comparison with kingdom truth. So parables are stories that use everyday experiences to teach a kingdom truth, just like I talked about being married. Everyday experience, something you experience every day, to teach a kingdom truth. How many of you, by saying amen, have seen a green plant in your life?
Amen.
Okay, I'm not trying to be sarcastic, but I'm just asking a question. Say amen if you've seen a green plant.
Amen.
Very good. Every single green plant is getting nutrients from the ground, and if it's getting nutrients from the ground and in good soil, it is a green plant, and it bears fruit or flowers. You are the fruit, you are the plant. If you're trusting in the Word of God, you'll bear fruit in your life. Very simple. We'll talk about that in 2 weeks. Very everyday story. And so that's what they are. Number two in your notes, parables were spoken to three groups of people. Three groups of people. The crowds, Jesus' critics, and his disciples. And so every week for the next 3 weeks, starting today, you will have devotionals 1 week on the disciples, 1 week on the crowds, 1 week on his critics. And you'll see how he interacted with people using parables. Number three, parables communicate kingdom of God principles and require a kingdom of God response. Whenever you hear a parable or whenever you read the Bible, you need to ask yourself a very simple question. So what's the point? Everyone say, what's the point? You never want to be in a Bible study, or even if you go to Bible college and read the Bible and get information and say, that's it. Matter of fact, some churches, and I'll say a lot of churches, well, let me say all churches, that fail to encourage people to apply the Bible to their life miss the point of the reason of having a church. Because some churches have become Bible colleges where they're just giving you information. It's not about information. It's about a revelation. It's about a person. It's about a relationship. The information is part of that, but the bottom line is the information has to change your life, because the gospel is not information. The gospel is not information. The gospel is a person. Now, there's information about that person, but it's the person of Jesus Christ and his impact in your life. That's what the gospel is. So you can quote Bible. You can quote Bible history, all that kind of stuff, but what is the point? The point is that Jesus Christ came into the earth to give hope to desperate people, hopeless people, so he can change our life. And there's information about that. But anytime you hear Bible study or anything about the Bible or you pray, you need to ask yourself, okay, what am I going to do with that? How is it going to change me? Or you miss the point. Okay, number four, parables twist your mind with the intent to turn your heart. In other words, they make you think different about someone, something, so you can change your heart and your behavior. Got to be a twist and a turn. Okay, number five, the effect of the parable was determined by the heart of the hearer. The effect of the parable in the Bible and the effect of the parable in your life is going to be completely determined by your heart. If you are hard-hearted, the parable is going to just make you mad. Or you just might not get anything out of it and just say whatever. But if you are soft-hearted, and what I mean by soft-hearted, if you're willing to receive what God has for you, it'll change your life. The Bible's the same way. Anytime you read the Bible, if your heart is saying, God, I want to learn, I want to grow, I want to be used, oh, he will do that right away. But if you're one of those people who think you know everything, or you reject the Bible as God's word, or you just, you know, whatever, you don't want to hear it, you don't want to change, well, then it's not going to do anything for you. It doesn't mean it's not good. It means that you're just rejecting God. Matter of fact, Jesus spoke parables all the time, and sometimes you may think he's telling parables so people don't get it. That's not why he told parables to the hard-headed people. He told parables to reveal their hard heart. So he would tell the parables to the critics, and they would just get mad at him, right? Because he was revealing to them, and they rejected him. The parables are not hard to understand. They're very easy to understand. Number six, only acceptance of the kingdom of God and Jesus' authority can unlock the power of the parable. Only if you say, God, I trust who you are, I trust who the Bible says, and I want to receive your lessons for my life, is you're going to get it. Okay? So let's read chapter 18. This is a great story. It's kind of funny. I think everything's funny if you look at it a certain way. So we'll get some good chuckles out of this. I don't know if you, how much y'all read the Bible. I hope you read it every day. But whenever you read the Bible, especially about Jesus, Jesus was a funny guy to me. And when I say funny guy, I mean he would say stuff to people, and if you were there, you would be like, did you hear that? Okay, this is one of those times. Okay, this is one of those times. Yeah, but you might have, he was kind. He had like dry humor though. He had a dry humor. Okay, you know how some people have dry humor? They'll say stuff and they'll be like this, blah 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 blah, and you'll get home late and go, oh, that was hilarious. Other people tell funny jokes and they laugh with you, kind of egg you on, laugh, you know, validate, this is funny, ha ha. And some people just go, blah blah blah, blah, you know. So this was, it's like if someone said to you, do you have a hard time finding hats that fit? And you don't get it, right? You go, oh, no, I'm good. You know, oh, okay. And you get home and you realize they just told you got a really big head. Let's read the story. Then Peter came, Matthew 18, verse 21. Matthew 18, verse 21. And if you're watching, we believe the Bible's God's word and it's all true. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Now, how many of you, by a show of hands, have somebody you need to forgive? Okay. How many of you need to be forgiven by somebody? Okay, a whole lot more people than need to forgive, okay? So here's a question. How many times should you forgive somebody? This is the question. This is what was asked Jesus. Now, he could simply say this or that, you know, every time, whatever, whatever. But he's going to tell a parable. This is what he said. Verse 22. Jesus said, I do not say up to seven times, but 70 times seven. Now, some of you may not like math. 70 times 7 is 490. How do you count and keep track? You don't. That's the point. But that's not the parable, but that's the point. It's just going to, you know, you just got to forgive. Okay, let's keep reading. Verse 23, here's the parable. Here's the story. Remember, everyday story, it's going to take our everyday story and twist the meaning a little bit and challenge you to do something different. Okay. Verse 23, therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. Okay, so the kingdom of God is like, here's a guy who's a king. He has servants that owe him money. Okay, verse 24, when he had begun to settle accounts, one servant was brought to him that owed him 10,000 talents. Now, a talent was a weight. It was 75 pounds. So a talent of gold was worth more money than a talent of silver. So this guy owed 10,000 times 75 pounds worth of money. Everyone say that's a whole lot of money. That's a whole lot of money. Okay, I don't know how he got in debt, But he did. Okay, he must have bought a couple of, you know, I don't know, he had a Mercedes and, you know, maybe a Rolls or something, but he owed a lot of money. And then it says, verse 25, but as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife, his children, all that he had until he made payment. So they would sell him and he would work it off. The servant therefore fell down before him and said, "Master, have patience with me. I will pay you everything." His master of the servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave his debt. Everyone say, that's a generous guy. Okay, so he owed 10,000 talents, more money, more money, more money. Okay? He forgave his debt. Verse 28, three people got that. That's okay. That's okay. Doesn't matter. You got the point. More money. Verse 28, but that servant, the same guy who owed the money, 10,000 talents, that same guy went out and found a fellow servant to him who owed him 100 denarii. Now, let me put this in perspective. A denarii was like 16 cents. One talent was 6,000 denarii. Let me put it in our terms. Let's say you owed 1.2 million. That's what he owed, the 10,000 talent guy, owed 1.2 million, and that's a small number, but just to give you perspective, this guy owed him $2. Okay, it was a 1 to 600,000 comparison, 100 denarii to 6 to 10,000 talents. Are you following me? Okay, so let me give it again because I just want to make sure I'm clear. The guy owed 1.2 million, and the other guy owed him $2. The guy owed 1.2 million, and then the guy owed him $2. We'll say it one more time for emphasis. I'm not saying because I'm not thinking you're getting it. I just want to make sure it's clear. He owed 1.2 million. You can sing along. That's fine. 1.2 million, and he was owed $2. Okay, because I think you're enjoying it. Let me do one more time. He owed. And he was owed? So you got it. Okay. So the guy who owed $1.2 million was forgiven. You know it's coming. Let me read again, verse 28. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him $2. He laid hands and took him by the throat. That's what happened to me. Someone took me by the throat, saying, "Pay me what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down his feet and begged him. Now, how do you beg for $2? This is what a $2 beg sounds like. Come on, man. Come on, man. $2. Give her brother a break. Oh, man. So, verse 29. I've been waiting for 2 hours to say that since last service. I'll tell you. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and said, "Come on, man. Have patience with me and I will pay." And he would not. Threw him in prison till he could pay his debt. So when his fellow servants, remember, he owed 1.2 million, his peers heard about what he did to the $2. $2 guy. When they heard, they were grieved. They came and told the master all what happened. The master came and called him and said, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged. Should not you also have had compassion on your fellow servant just as I had pity on you?" His master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that he was due. So my heavenly Father will also do to you if from your heart you do not forgive your brother his trespasses. Jesus, how many times we got to forgive? I'll tell you a story. You owe 1.2 million. Actually, your debt was higher than that. Okay, you got hundreds, thousands, millions, billions, trillions, and then godzillions. You know Godzilla? Do y'all know who Godzilla is? How many of y'all know who Godzilla is? Okay, does anybody here not know who Godzilla is? Godzilla is like the most famous, tell me if I'm right or wrong, monster ever. King Kong, Godzilla. King Kong, Godzilla, right? Y'all know who King Kong is, right? Mighty Joe Young? Y'all know who King Kong? Yeah. Do you know who King Kong is? Okay. Whew. Okay. Well, there is what you call godzillions. I'm making this up, but that means a whole lot of money. Your sin and my sin have been forgiven by God. And what he's saying is that I want you to try to imagine how much of your sin, not only how much of your sin was forgiven, because it was all forgiven, but I want you to imagine how much it was. Think about all the things you think. Imagine if everything you thought in your head came out as words. The Bible says the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You don't even know how wicked your heart is. I don't know how wicked my heart is. Can we get agreement on that our heart is more wicked than we realize? Amen. We're more prideful than we realize, more lustful than we realize, more arrogant than we realize. All those bad words. We are more all of that. And when Jesus died on the cross, he died for everything we've done, thought about, did, whatever. And he's saying to us, first you have to get a grasp of that, that you are wicked, that you want to be wicked. You want to be prideful. You want to be arrogant. Matter of fact, if you talk behind people's back, it's because you want to pull them down. And the only way you can pull them down is if you're below them. Oh! But really, in reality, you only perceive to be below them because the devil lied to you. All of that junk, pride, gossip. And then we find someone who owes us $2. And we want to beat them on the head like they murdered somebody. $2. Well, you don't know what they did to me. What did they do? They did this. Okay, $2.50. We had a porn debate here recently. We had number one porn star in America, Ron Jeremy. He's done 1,800 films with 3,000 women and counting, 57 years old. It was a Saturday night event. He was up here debating the pastor that they traveled the country. They had never been in the church. It was their first time in the church. We had 3,000 people here. We had pimps, prostitutes, porn stars. Actually, a guy came up to me 70 years old, said, "I'm the oldest porn star in America. Here's my card. I want to help you." Help me what? I want to talk for your groups. I say, "Hey, brother, you know, we'll get together." We had people here managing porn shops and all kinds of stuff. And let me tell you something, it was a glorious day to have them here. And so I got, and Ron's up here, right? And it's a non-censored event, by the way. It's not a church service. It was made clear in the video. My email I sent out to people, it's not a church service. Come at your own risk. They're going to talk. Oh, yeah, did he drop a couple of curses? Yeah. So what? You hear it every day. I got emailed, "How could you let that in the church?" Okay, Yeah. How could you let that in the church? Well, one, the church is not the building. The church is the people. But here's the bigger problem with that statement. It's like saying, how do you let sin in the church? There's porn in here right now. 50%, one of every two guys watches porn. One out of every six women. And Sunday is the day porn is watched more than any day of the week. So what are we talking about? People think, well, all the people going to church, and I'm going to church, I'm pure. Get a life. Get a life. There's people here. Amen. I don't know this for a fact, so I'm only judging you. I don't know this for a fact, what I'm getting ready to say. So I could be completely wrong, but I doubt it. There's people in here with drugs in their pocket right now. Thank you. There's people here who got up this morning with someone they slept with last night they're not married to. And you're going to go home and live, because you live together, and do it every day. Hey, pastor, and act like it's no big deal. It's a big deal. There's people in here right now, or maybe not this minute, but throughout this day, who are going to come here with their mistress. They're cheating on their wife or their husband. Now, I know all this stuff is true because I talk to these people. So when we think bring it into the building, it's already in the building. This is the purpose of the building. It's the purpose of our mission. Now, with all that said, the purpose of the building, it's not really the building. It has nothing to do with the physical building. It's just stones and brick. You're the church. The purpose of us being together is to talk about all that junk so God can remove it from your life. And so the people, so here's Jesus saying, first, we have to realize all the garbage that we have been forgiven of. Do you realize what I've done for you, Jesus says? And if you're new to the church world and you're here for the first time, we love to have fact you're here. This may surprise you because you hear pastors who do drugs after they become a pastor. Obviously, that's a problem. I used to do drugs years ago. I stopped in 1984, but I used to do cocaine, and one of my hot spots was right here in Point Loma, right down the street. And there's people who I used to do drugs with who go to church here now. Now, they don't do it either. It's not like they're going, yo, bro, I still got the hookups, call me. But these are people I used to hang out with when I was in my 20s, before I got saved at 24, so 22, 23, before, early 24. We used to do cocaine together. We're all drug-free. They're all saved and coming to church. And we look at each other, and we do? We just go, and it's unbelievable because now all our kids are the ages we were when we met. And that's how long ago it was. And we look at each other, and we came and express. We just laugh and smile, going, remember? Yeah. And God got us through, and we're all family, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, the reason I say that is that if God can take a rake and just rake all the garbage of your life that he has forgiven and or wants to forgive, and look at all that pile of stuff. Cesspool, nasty. He goes, I forgot it. So who's asking you to forgive them? And what are they asking you to forgive them of? And who are you stabbing in the back every day because they did what to you? And let me tell you this. I promise you, again, this is my opinion. My opinion means what?
Nothing.
But just listen to this one. I bet you that what you think they did, they really didn't do what you think. A lot of times you go to someone and say, you did this to me. And they go, I didn't mean that. I really didn't. Now, they may have done something wrong. I'm not saying they didn't, but some of it might have been you. Your perception of them that was wrong. In other words, you were already in their heart judging why they did what they did. You know, when I walk through crowds, sometimes I'll be at the mall, it's very seldom, but places. And when I look at people or make eye contact, you know, just people walking by, how you doing? I don't know who I know. No. Sometimes there are people from the church I'm supposed to know. When I say supposed to know, you're there, we see each other, but I don't know you. So I have to be careful not to just kind of like look away. Could be like, I played you off, but I don't know you. So I'm like, how you doing? Give it a hey, Pastor Miles, moment opportunity. But if it's a woman, I don't want to be like, hey, just keep looking like, hey, because then I got another problem, right? But sometimes I'm just like, how you doing? It's like, oh, he was so rude to me. I was like, my bad. I mean, it's a no lose situation, and God deals with whatever. But the point is that you sometimes read into stuff. I met a lady several years ago at church. Is when we were meeting at San Diego State. And I was standing at the door shaking people's hands, and she came by and said, how you doing? My name is so-and-so. And she said, I want to ask you to forgive me. I said, for what? She says, I've been mad at you or something like that for 8 years. I was like, who are you? What did I do? I don't even know. She says, don't even worry about it. the devil will drive you into the ground over nothing. Nothing. So it's not only do you want to forgive the $2. And by the way, if someone stole your car and your girlfriend, it's a $2 sin. And what I mean by $2 sin, what I mean by, because she stole your girlfriend, she wasn't your girlfriend anyway. Amen. And thank God she's gone. Amen. And by the way, it could happen both ways. Say your boyfriend, whatever. I'm not trying to be, you know, girl, guy, whatever. For every she devil, there's a he dummy. So it all works together. But yeah, he stole your stuff, and yeah, it was horrible, and yeah, you had to take the bus for 6 weeks, whatever. But that's nothing compared to what God has done for you. And if God did all this for you, if God has forgiven you of all this stuff for real, though, everyone say for real, though. Okay, if God has forgiven you of all this for reals, okay, you can say for reals too. That's another way of saying for real. Say for reals. Those two things. If God's for reals forgiving you all this stuff, that means that you now have all this ocean worth, an ocean size measure of forgiveness to give. So if you find yourself not being able to forgive, you have to ask yourself, have I really been forgiven? Am I tapping into the forgiveness that God has given me? Because that's what saved means, that you're going to start living like him. And so in a minute, you're going to have a couple things to do. Number one, make sure you have received the forgiveness of God. And then start giving it out. You'll be a happy person. Start loving people that you don't think are below you. Ain't nobody below you. Nobody. I was the emails, someone, we didn't get a lot. Most of the people were very supportive of the porn debate. It was a great time. I love Ron, was a great guy. Love that guy. He's from New York. We're from both same area. But sometimes we can have a very, very backwards view of people who don't have God in their life or who do things that we don't think we would do. Nobody's below us. Nobody. Matter of fact, the more you walk with God, the more low you get. And the more you want to lift those people, and when I say those people, everybody else above you, to esteem others better than yourself. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 that the mind Christ had in him, we need to have. Think about it. He came and died for a bunch of dirt bags. And watch my finger. Are you following me? I'm not, you know, God made man out of dirt. Fellas, now he didn't make women out of dirt. He made women out of mud. What I mean by that, he made the dirt, and then he took the dirt and made the woman. You know, so after the thing, okay, we're all made of dirt, but fellas, we're dirtbags. And God, and Jesus came and said, you know what? I have this glorious body. It's eternal. But I'm going to put on a dirt bag, human flesh. And I'm going to live like y'all. And I'm going to let y'all kill me. It'd be like equivalent. Let me do a little parable. It'd be like you becoming a roach. Living in roach land. And letting a bunch of roaches throw you in a roach motel. So you could die so roaches can be saved. Are you following me? There are no roaches in heaven. I know that, right, God? We're the roaches. Jesus lowered himself big time. Whoever you need to forgive, you need to forgive. First thing you need to do is receive forgiveness. So in a minute, we're going to pray. And here's my challenge to you. Don't take God for granted, because God is not a sucker. In other words, God's not like, oh, yeah, I'll let you in heaven. Come on. You ain't that bad. No, we're real bad. So bad that our sin killed him. But here's how God is. He's so loving that he will forgive you, but you have to repent. And he will remember your sin no more. He has more forgiveness than you can imagine. It'd be like you trying to drink the ocean. I don't know if you know this, but the valleys in the ocean, or let me say it this way, the mountains in the ocean or the mountains underwater are bigger than the ones you see above the water. So whenever you fly or you see mountains and valleys, there's bigger mountains and valleys under the oceans on this planet. The earth is two-thirds water, just like your body's two-thirds water. And that is not a coincidence. God is coordinated. It's coordinated. So that means there's a whole lot of water out there. And if you say, I'm going to try to drink the water, God will say, you'll never make it. That's how much love I have. Can't measure it. And so if you receive that much love, you can give it all. You can start giving away every day. You'll never run out. But first, you have to receive it on His terms. So right now, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And I want you to think and listen very carefully to what I'm going to say. God knows every single one of you, and He knows all your garbage. He knows your junk. He knows your thoughts, your intents, your pain. He knows your arrogance, your self-centeredness, your selfishness. The list goes on. And He says, you know what? I love you so much that if you're willing to forget it, I'm willing to forget it. If you're willing to move on, I'm willing to move on. The penalty of it, though, is death. But God says, I don't want you to have that death. I don't want you to suffer like that. So if you would like to be forgiven of all that you got going on in your life, pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, I believe I'm a sinner, and I know my sin is horrible, more than I can know. But I believe you are a forgiving God, a loving God. Jesus, please forgive me of all my sin. Please come live in my heart. Cleanse me. Purify me. I surrender my life to you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, I'm going to ask you to stand in a minute. Wherever you are, you may be at home. You may be at one of our satellite locations here in San Diego. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet in a minute. By standing, you are acknowledging that you are expressing faith in Jesus, that you are receiving His forgiveness, and you are resurrecting to a new person. But please, please don't think God doesn't know what's going on in your mind, your heart right now. He doesn't know what's going on in your life. Don't think He doesn't know how much you need to be forgiven and cleansed. So right now, eyes closed, heads bowed. If you prayed that prayer, just stand to your feet and acknowledge Jesus in your life and His forgiveness in your life. God bless you. Very good. Stay standing good. God bless you. 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 Very good. God bless you. God bless you.